So good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Mike, and I am the pastor here. And I want you to know that we're very grateful that you chose to join us today. We're very grateful that you chose to be here. And I believe every Sunday, I believe that God has a word for us. And I want you to know today that I believe God has a word for you and for myself because we're here. There's no mistake that we're in this building today. And so I believe that God has a word for us, and if you would just have your ears open, you'll receive the word that he has for you this morning. We're on week two of our sermon series of David, and last week we had an incredible word from the Lord that each of us is chosen and anointed. Listen, we're all chosen and anointed when we step into a relationship with Jesus, just like David was anointed to be king of Israel. He was God's chosen king for Israel. And today, we look at David's faith and his courage in facing the giant known as Goliath. The title of today's sermon is called The Giant Slayer. Let me invite you to open your Bible, and I hope you have one or someone has one next to you that you can look on with. Open it to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 34 through 37 and also verses 41 through 51. And while you turn there, you can guess just from the title, and I've already said Goliath, that we're looking at the story of David and Goliath. And I wanted to read the entire chapter. The whole chapter of Samuel 17 is the story of David and Goliath. But for the sake of time, we're going to focus on the main parts in Scripture. But while you're finding it, I want to summarize chapter 17 leading up to our verses today. So what we have in the opening of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel is the Philistines and the Israelites assembled for war. So they got their armies together and they assembled for war. The Philistines camped over here on this hill and the Israelites camped over here on this hill. And between them was a valley. Goliath was a giant 9 foot tall warrior. And he comes from the ranks of the Philistines, challenging Israel's army with an offer for a battle between him and one of Israel's warriors. David shows up on the scene a short time later. As a young man, he was taking his three older brothers' provisions to the battle line. He's taking them cheese and goods and to their battle commander. And so for 40 days, Goliath came out. And he made this challenge to the Israelites for them to send out a warrior to battle him for 40 days. And on one of the day, the 40th day, because well, the battle ends shortly hereafter. David hears this challenge of Goliath, and while David was checking in with his brothers, and again I'm summarizing chapter 17, he heard Goliath's challenge. And David started asking some questions, and pretty soon David found himself in front of King Saul. And David told Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. On this Philistine, your servant will go and fight him." And this is where our scripture picks up this morning. Saul responds to him, or Saul says, "You can't fight a 9 foot giant, you're only a boy." This is Saul's response. Verse 34, it says this, "But David said to Saul," this is right after Saul says, "You can't fight a 9 foot giant." "But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Verse 41, so you'll jump down to 41. "And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, "And that all this assembly may know that," this is David continuing to speak, "and all that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Well, the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistine saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that we find the encouragement, that we find courage. Lord, that we find how to act in faith the way David did. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to this, and may your name be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is probably one of the most well-known Bible stories in the Bible for believers and unbelievers. Even as kids, they have these versions of the stories written in little one-page books, and they have a picture. And if you're like me and you sat through Sunday school, who all had felt boards when they were in Sunday school? There, yeah. Okay, we're dating ourselves here, right? Kids, if you don't know what a felt board is, it's two pieces of felt, and they magically stick together every time, and Sunday teachers would put them up on the board, and it would illustrate for you the story at hand that they're teaching. And so right away, I'm thinking of Sunday school pictures of a small child in shepherd's clothes with a rope in his hand and rocks in the other, and somewhere off behind him is a stone with a little sheep standing behind it. Does everybody know exactly what I'm talking about? Right? You've got that image in your head. But listen, this is what I want us to grasp today. It isn't that David defeated Goliath. It's the faith that he had to face Goliath. It's not the same faith that he just... It's not some faith, rather, not the same, but it's not some random faith that he had. Not like David just woke up and said, "Well, I'm going to face a 9-foot giant today." This is a lifetime of experience that David has had of God proving himself over and over and over again that gave David to have the ability to have faith and courage to face Goliath. Our sticky statement for today is, giants can be overcome if we exercise faith. Okay? Now, not here this morning, but I was going to use the names of folks, but I'll use one of my kids for this. If I use the names of people, I was going to use Matthew, but you don't put Caden against Norm in a battle. If I put Norm up here, Norm, how tall are you? Huh? See, it feels like Norm towers over me, but he's only 2.5 inches taller than I am. Norm, 6'4.5", Caden, 4 feet, maybe 4 feet, 2 inches, I don't know. He's almost as tall as Mom, I guess. So he's almost 5 feet. She's really scowling at me here. I got the height wrong. Let's just 5'2". Being generous? All right, I'm being generous, folks. So Caden's almost that tall. But you don't put Caden against Norm in a fight, because who's that a no-win situation for? Caden, right? In a normal world, that's a no-win fight. And let's just face it, Norm's not 9 feet tall. So Goliath had 2.5 feet on Norm. For perspective, if you have Norm, stand up here, okay? So it appears like it's a no-win situation. And there's a reason why for 40 days not a single Israelite responded to Goliath's challenge for battle. Because they were all scared. But let's look at David's situation. David had, since childhood, faced situations. We see it. He talks about it. Where he had to trust God to come through for him every time. Each time, facing these things, making his faith seem bigger, larger, more extreme. So when the next one came, it was a little bit easier to proceed. And I'd like to call this faith-building exercises. Does everybody know what a team-building exercise is? Especially for those in the corporate world, we know what team-building is, right? You do the free fall and fall on your coworkers, right? It's kind of like team-building, but faith-building is way better. As we read, and if you go through 1 Samuel and actually read this line by line, word by word, you'll see all this. But some of the faith-building events were while David was out in the wilderness with the flock, protecting the flock, watching his father's flocks. He recounts to Saul that he would chase down a lion. He would chase down a bear to save a single sheep from its mouth. I would submit that I would start to question how worth is that one sheep. Right? We get scared today when a dog attacks a small dog or attacks a cat. How many of us are going to run after a hungry bear or a hungry lion with supper in its mouth to take it out of its mouth? Seems like a silly thing to do, doesn't it? What do they tell you to do if you encounter wildlife, like out in a national park? Don't run, right? Like, keep your eye on it, walk away from it, stern, slow voice, no big movements. You don't go and try to snatch supper out of its mouth, right? That's not good. And so what happened here is David had these faith-building moments in which David had to rely on God's Spirit and not on his own ability for the outcome. Because if we've relied on our ability, we're likely going to be mauled by a bear or a lion. Can we all agree to that? If we're going to snatch supper out of its mouth, we're in trouble. But when we trust on God and we lean on His Spirit for the outcome, we find that God is faithful. We find that He comes through. And it is God's faithfulness that was tested and proven in David's life over and over and over again. And this is what leads us to today's story. David's victory over Goliath was not about his ability. It wasn't about David's strength. It wasn't about his accuracy with the sling. But it was the result of David's faith in God. He just had to have the courage to put that faith in God to action. Did you know that we too can have faith like David? We have the ability to face giants. Maybe not literally like Goliath, but spiritually. There's things that require great faith from us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to face these spiritual giants. The hardest times that we can go through, the lowest of valleys, the highest of mountains. Listen, the loneliest wilderness. The Holy Spirit empowers us to face these giants. With the strength to overcome, to face, to put them to rest. The same way that the Holy Spirit gave David the strength to have courage to exercise his faith, we have that same empowerment to face with faith, to put our courage to action is what it is. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to have courage and strength to exercise our faith. Now, what does exercise your faith mean? If we look at that, it means to apply because we know God's Word is true. So if we are to exercise our faith, we are to put into application what we know is true. And if we know God's word is true, we know that He is faithful. Because of how we've seen Him be faithful in our lives, time and time and time again. Giants can be overcome if we exercise faith. Most, if not all of us here, I'd like to just point, you know, we may not have experiences in facing bears or lions or has anybody gone through something different than me? That's the beauty of it, right? Your life is completely different than mine. You face things in life that I'll never face. We might have some commonality in between it, but we all have our own life of faith-building events. But we all share one common, and I know the scripture's already there because they didn't do a very good job of hiding it, but we all have one common experience of God's faithfulness. And this is our salvation experience. When we come into a relationship with Jesus, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, if that's the only faith-building event that you have, meaning maybe I'm a brand new Christian and just putting my faith in Jesus is the first thing that I've done. It's the only experience I have so far of having faith in Him. Listen, that's enough to have faith for the next faith-building event. It's enough. Now, hopefully, you're not actually chasing down bears and lions to steal their food. But I pray that it's spiritual giants that you are running after. I hope and I pray that you're chasing down, you're running after to overcome, to overtake addictions, to overcome bitterness, to overcome complacency, to overcome pridefulness, to overcome hidden sin in your life, to overcome language, to overcome temptations. I pray that you'll be willing to run to the battle line to face the enemy that's trying to destroy your marriage. I pray that you run to the battle line to face the enemy that's trying to destroy your finances. I pray that you run to the battle line to face the enemy that's trying to steal your kids' innocence. Perhaps it's not running to the battle line to face an enemy, but maybe God has called you to do something big. Maybe He's called you to do something giant, if we're going to play on words, because Goliath was a giant. Maybe there's a giant task at hand that God has called us to. Is it ministry? Has God called you to do a ministry? Has He called you to work with orphans? Has He called you to work somehow in some relation to child slaves? Or is it to work with the homeless? These are all noble things. These are all things that I think we can all agree are things worth pursuing. But it's the idea in itself in doing it that is scary. This is just Mike Linder here, okay? This is a step away from the pulpit. I don't think David would have the courage or the faith to face Goliath without having a lifetime of opportunity to put his faith in God and see God come through again and again and again. You have the entire Israelite army, trained warriors, who refuse to go face Goliath. And David comes and says, he's talking about the living God. I'll take care of him today. The Lord will see it through. That takes a lot of faith. I think we can all agree that that is a huge faith-building event. But maybe God has called us to a ministry, and the idea in itself is scary. Listen, this is a spiritual giant. And I'd like to encourage you today to have courage, step forward in faith, advance, if you will, on that battle line, knowing that God goes before you the same way He did David. Trust in God. I want to encourage you to have trust in God to win the victories and make His plans successful, not your desires successful. Those are two different things, right? Now, don't approach this idea haphazardly. Don't approach with a blindfold over your eyes, if you will. Instead, the only way we can get to the place where we can have the courage to execute our faith is through a lot of prayer and a lot of dependence on the Holy Spirit. You think about the hardest thing that you've gone through in your Christian walk. Something, maybe God has transformed your marriage. Maybe He has brought you out of the deepest, darkest addiction that you've ever gone through. It's because we trusted God to pull us out of it that we were pulled out of it. It wasn't my ability that I quit using alcohol and tobacco when I came to Christ. It was because God led me to that and He helped me get through it. It was not on my ability. Giants can be overcome if we exercise faith. If you want to read through Scripture, open up to the book of Psalms sometime and start in the beginning. And you'll start to read some Psalms that David wrote, and you'll quickly learn that David was a man of prayer. He was a man of worship. He had a deep passion for the things of the Lord. And we talked about this last week. He desired God's presence and power above all else in his life. We see that David depended on the Lord. He had faith in the Lord because all of the previous times that God proved himself faithful to David. Now, I think it's easy for all of us to go through something. It's easy to go through life, right? We had the first week of school, the first 3 days of school this week. Hottest days of the year. And it's going to feel like a tropical vacation this week. It's going to be quite nice. But it's easy to go through situations and forget about them, right? I pumped gas yesterday. I will very quickly forget about that moment that I pumped gas. Now, it might stick around longer because diesel is now 10 cents cheaper a gallon than gasoline is. And so that just sticks in my head because I texted Alicia while I was pumping gas and said, I've never once in my lifetime seen diesel cheaper than gasoline. So now diesel vehicles will start selling out of the roof. And so maybe I'll remember pumping that gas for a long time. But generally, things that we do are quickly forgotten, right? Now, maybe these faith-building events, they stick around for a little bit, but all of a sudden we start to forget about them. And when the next thing comes up, we start to have anxiety, we start to be concerned, we don't know where to turn, we don't know how God's going to see us through. So what I'm saying here is, we need to remember, we need to put in catalog up here and in our hearts the moments that God has led us through, moments we never thought we could get through. Catalog our faith-building events. What does this do? It makes it easier to recall so we can remember, so we can look to God to see us through this next event. And so if that means you need a journal, buy yourself a notebook, start journaling, write down days. Do things where you are building an atmosphere where you make it possible to constantly remember, thinking about, thanking, and praising God for seeing us through these events. Because when God sees us through this event, He'll see us through this event, and next thing you know, we're facing a giant that we couldn't face had we not had the faith to get through these other events. I would challenge you today to conquer the lions and the bears of life. So when the next Goliath comes, you can run at it. You can meet it at the battle line to face battle. And church, if this is how we choose to live, our lives will be characterized by God's passion, power, and presence. Now, this is a must for engaging our community for Jesus. We must be a church. We must be a people that are marked with God's passion, power, and presence. Giants can be overcome if we exercise faith. So So my question to you this morning is, what is God calling you to have faith in? What is this next thing in life that He is saying, have faith? Stacy, if you want to come on up with the worship team, I would just ask everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes, and this isn't anything besides just for you to focus on my voice. It's the Bible doesn't tell us what we're about to do. It has to be done the way that we do it. We just do it in this manner so people can respond in how they feel comfortable. But I want to ask you this morning, have you experienced God's faithfulness? Have you experienced God's faithfulness in the forgiveness of your sins? Have you ever said, God, I need you, and I believe that you sent your son Jesus? And if you haven't, I want to pray with you today. I want to walk through this with you. It's very simple to do this, to have this first moment, to experience this first moment of God's faithfulness. It requires a personal relationship with Jesus. And that means that we are willing to recognize Him being Jesus, as both Savior and Lord over our life. Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So whether this is in a new way, I've never said this in my life, I've never stepped into a relationship with Jesus, or maybe this is a fresh way. You've made some choices that have kind of taken your focus off and you realize that you need to get back to Christ as fast as you can. You can share today in that faith experience, which is the forgiveness of your sins in a relationship with Christ Jesus. Now, this isn't just a hand raise. This isn't just I'm going to repeat this prayer multiple times and I hope at some point it sticks. What this is a commitment. This is a commitment to give Jesus your life, to submit to Him as Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us that we're to deny ourselves and carry our cross every single day. This is what a relationship with Jesus is. So if you don't have that relationship and you'd like to step into that today, would you just raise your hand as all eyes are closed and heads are bowed? Nobody else is looking at you. Amen. Amen. Here's how I'd like to close today. I'd like to ask everybody here, are you trusting God in our situations? Are we trusting God? Are we running towards giants with courage? Or are we acting like the Israelites that are afraid to face the call? Has God called you to something that requires big faith, but you're unsure that you can take it on? You don't know how you're going to fit it into your already busy schedule. You don't know how this is going to work out. I don't think Abraham knew what was going to happen when God said, go, and I'll show you the way of which you must go. Today I want to encourage us all to reflect. Take a moment, reflect on what God has done for you throughout your life. What He has led you through, what He's pulled you out of, what He's provided to you, for you, throughout your entire relationship with Him. Because, church, I promise you this, He's already proven Himself faithful, and He's willing to do it again. And so as the worship team leads us in a song, I'd like to pray with you, but I would also like for you to have time with the Lord. And so the altars are open, the benches, if you need to kneel there, or you can stand at the altar. This is the time for us to remember. And when we remember on these faith events that God has just so radically provided for us in our life, it should bring our lips to praise. It's a moment for us to respond to the Lord's goodness and His faithfulness this morning. Amen. Amen.